is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Clinton here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight, Jason, I am broadcasting live from Selwyn Bar in Charlotte, North Carolina at the J. Billis Skills Camp. Game four, NBA Finals. What is going on?
I don't know, Mike. I really don't. I think I texted you the beginning of the game. I think it was really early, and the Raptors were just getting smoke showed. It looked really, really bad for them early. I don't know how much of the early of the game you did. I'm guessing you didn't catch the beginning.
I didn't see a whole lot of it.
They were up like 25-12 or something, Golden State, and it just, I mean, the Raptors shot abysmally. They couldn't make a thing. And then the second quarter happened. They still couldn't make anything. And somehow at halftime they were down only six points. And it was like, how is this even possible with how they started? I think in the first half the Raptors were 2-for-17 from behind the arc.
It's amazing. It's amazing to watch whatever this version of the Warriors is, and just remember how dominant they've been in the last four finals, and how easily they could score, and how they could conjure up stops whenever they want to. And now you just watch them, and it's such a struggle for them to make baskets because nobody else on the floor is a threat at all. Toronto doesn't even guard anybody besides Steph and Klay. They're 12 feet off of everybody else who catches the ball. And so Steph and Klay are running around like madmen. And then when they do catch the ball, they got two guys right on them. And it's almost impossible for them to score. And then conversely, at the other end of the floor, Golden State's defense is just—it's terrible. I mean,
yep, terrible.
They can't get any stops. They get driven by. They're not communicating. They got guys switching off, and there's two guys going with one guy, and the other guy's wide open. And it's just they're a mess. I mean, they are an absolute mess. Yeah. They have no idea what they're doing.
Did you see the stat that when Iguodala shot those free throws in the fourth quarter, what he was for the playoffs, Mike?
It was something
12 for 30. My God, Mike, I'm pretty sure that you and I could go and shoot better than 12 for 30.
Well, so here's the thing, like, it cracks me up, like, these guys, like, shoot underhand. I mean, I'm not trying to
Rick Barry style, baby.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you're gonna make more than 12 out of 30. I mean,
terrible.
12 out of 30 is just, I mean, that is atrocious.
LeBron could make 12 out of 30 with his left hand after he injures his right elbow, Mike.
Yeah, and Iguodala is just, I mean, he's so streaky. You know what I mean? He's so streaky.
He was pretty bad tonight. He was one.
Yeah, he was bad. He was bad.
Here's what it comes down to, Mike. You got a guy in Iguodala who played 37 minutes, almost 38. You got Draymond Green who played 40 minutes, and they between the two of them took 12 shots. They each took six. You can't rely completely on Steph and Klay. Someone else.
Well, that's
has
why they're
to
not even.
Something.
I mean, and Toronto's not even guarding them. I mean, they are literally not even guarding them. Draymond catches the ball at the top of the key behind the three-point line, and whoever's guarding him is below the free throw line. And Draymond he's not even looking at the basket at this point to take an outside shot.
The guy with the fractured, I don't even know what it was, cartilage or whatever, took more shots than you. Come on, guys.
That's amazing. When I saw him in the second half, I was like, because I didn't obviously see much of the first half, and I didn't see him play. So when he came in the second half, I looked at it, and I was like, how's he in there? Like the miracles of cortisone.
Well, they said the beginning of the first half, they said, you know, when they put him in, because he didn't start the game, but I mean, DeMarcus Cousins was just terrible again tonight.
And yeah, he was boogie added nothing. He looked
turned
like he
over.
Move. Yeah, he looked like he couldn't even move.
And he had three turnovers in the first 3 minutes, Mike. He had three turnovers in the first 3 minutes. So they put Looney in there, okay? I mean, and they said, oh, the doctors, the original diagnosis, they said, you know, he shouldn't play. And then but Looney was like, I don't care. I want to go out there and play. I want to fight through this. And
he ended up with 10, missed two big free throws in the fourth quarter.
They said that he couldn't further injure it. So they might as well put him out there. So this makes me think, Mike, I'm starting to really think that Durant's not playing this series.
I'm not convinced he's coming back.
I think that the Warriors are trying to keep it hush hush and everything, but I mean, even Klay, I don't know if you saw him walking off after the game. He didn't look right walking off in the back of the stadium, and here he was playing in this game with his hamstring issue. You got Looney in there with a a torn cartilage or a broken cartilage. I don't exactly know the diagnosis. And then Durant is just hanging out in the back with his White Sox hat on, not even out on the floor. I can't buy that he's playing. I just can't.
Well, it's set up for, I mean, there's so many storylines potentially of what happens. I mean, obviously if he doesn't come back and they get beat, it's just, I mean, it's a huge upset. I mean, you know, you and I were talking, I mean, I obviously predicted a 5-game series, you predicted a 4, and that was with neither one of us knowing whether Durant was going to play or not. And now that, I mean, even if you'd have told me that he wasn't going to play at all, I still would have said the Warriors probably in 5. And the fact that Toronto's up 3-1, and I mean, they've played really, really well. I mean, they have played really well.
Tonight you got to give it to Ibaka, man. Ibaka played the game, probably the best game he's played since he left Oklahoma City. I really think he was just all over the place. And he only played 21 minutes, and he had 20 points, Mike.
Yeah, he was really good. I don't know what Siakam's stats were, but in the time that I watched for the second half, Siakam made a lot of those little floaters and leaners.
He had 19 points. He was 3 of 8 from – or he was 6 of 14 from the field. He only had 5 rebounds and 1 assist, Mike. Like, but he was 7 of 8 from the free throw line. That was, you know, once again, the free throws for Toronto. I mean, they were 23 of 24 versus Golden State, 14 of 21. I mean, abysmal.
The Warriors couldn't get a stop, whether they fouled and sent Toronto to the line or just missed a breakdown on a defensive assignment. It was just, and then you could see they were just, their body language was terrible. They felt like they couldn't get over the hump. It's kind of been that way every game this series. Like, it's a 10-12 point lead and Golden State makes what you think is a little bit of a run and they get it down to maybe 8 or 7, and then they just can't get a stop or they can't make the big basket. It's the exact opposite of what they've always been able to do.
It was funny when there was like 6 minutes left in the game. I don't know if you'll remember this exactly, but Siakam missed a 3 in the corner, and then the next possession, Curry hit a 3, and that was like, oh man, there's the turning point.
It's right.
And then what happened was they did that pick and roll, and Ibaka dunked it. And then I was like, okay, well, that stopped the momentum. But
was that off the second shot? Was that off an offensive rebound? Because there was one possession. I don't know if it was that one that you just described. It seems like that possession, the one that I'm thinking of, ended in an Ibaka dunk too, where they played pretty good defense, got a miss, and then it was a long rebound. And then I think Lowry drove in and threw a little drop pass to Ibaka he got fouled on.
He
made the shot.
Yeah, that was another one. That was the one that Steph Curry didn't box out Danny Green, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I mean, just minor details. But once again, you know, I go, Steph Curry is the only one doing anything, and he's running around like a crazy man. I'm not, to be honest with you, I can't be upset with him for not boxing out Danny Green, because he's taking so much contact as it is, because no one else is doing anything on the offensive end of the floor. That's what you're going to get on the defensive end from him. It's my opinion, at least. I don't know.
Yeah, and Steph wasn't great tonight. I mean, he was good, but he wasn't great. And the current iteration of what they are, he's got to be great. I mean, even when he was great in game 3, it wasn't enough. And I just don't know how – I mean, it seems crazy to say about the Warriors after watching them for 4 years against the Cavs, but they just can't – how do they score? Everything is a grind because they just have no spacing. Every time Steph or Klay catches the ball, there's a guy right there and there's another guy just waiting when they put the ball on the floor, and it's really hard. And then when they create something for somebody else, the guys they're creating for are open by 10 or 12 feet and they won't shoot the ball. So,
yeah, I will say the one thing they were talking about, at least in the first half, and I know they mentioned it a few times in the second half, was like they were surprised that Toronto was running at the pace that they were running. And I'm sitting here thinking, I would run at that pace if I'm playing against Golden State right now. Like, come on, they're basically crippled on the defensive end of the floor. They're tired. They've got Curry and Klay Thompson playing 44 minutes because they don't have anyone else that can play those positions effectively.
So right, absolutely.
I would be pushing the ball up the floor every single time I see a weakness. I take advantage of it, and that's what I would do.
There's no question.
You know, and so you got to give Nick Nurse he came in with a game plan and it worked.
Toronto's been really, really good. And so now the question becomes, if going back to what we talked about with Durant, if Durant doesn't come back, it's hard to imagine that this wounded Warrior team is going to go into Toronto in game 5. and get that game. Now, they're three-time champions. I would never say never, but based on what we've seen in the first four games of this series, there's not much of an indication that that's going to be able to happen.
Yeah, I
agree. Toronto's role players have been good, at times great, and Kawhi has obviously been outstanding. He was terrific again tonight. He doesn't miss from the free throw line, which is such a difference. Like, I still, just circling back to LeBron, it's one of the biggest holes, I think, in LeBron's game is the fact that he's not automatic at the line. He's not 85. He's not 85% at the line. And you just can't foul Kawhi. I mean, he's going to the line. It's two for two every single time.
Yep.
And that makes such a huge difference because then guys don't want to foul him because they know it's going to go in if he goes to the line. And consequently, that makes him play just a little bit more hesitantly, and it makes it easier for him to score. But going back to Durant, it's all set up for Durant to come back, and they avenge the 3-1 loss to the Cavs by coming back from their own 3-1 deficit.
And he avenges the 3-1 loss that he had to Golden State.
Yep.
I mean,
and Durant rides out of town, takes a cross country flight to New York, and lands in New York as the conquering hero of the guy who saved the Warriors dynasty.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, if he doesn't come back, now you look at it and you say, man, that team, as it was constituted, that won an NBA record 73 games and lost that series to the Cavs, and the year before, they beat the Cavs in six games without Kyrie, without Kevin Love, so they won one title. Without Durant, one title without him, and that's hard to believe when you really start to look at that's the case, and
you know,
I don't know what's going to happen.
Do you think it tarnishes the legacy? Do you think it tarnishes the legacy at all?
I think it has to. I think it has to. I don't know how. You have to look at it at least a little bit through a jaundiced eye that, man, that team that won 73 games, first of all, that team didn't even win the title. And then the year before, two guys got hurt, went six games. And now this series, yeah, guys are hurt, but guess what? You know, you won a couple titles because guys for the Cavs were injured. And if they were both healthy in 2015, can the Cavs win that series? Well, it went six without two of your three best players. And, you know, I think the first Durant year, you could make a case that there, I mean, we've talked about it before, but that series wasn't nearly as lopsided as it could have been. You know, the Durant dagger game four, where the Cavs had that lead the entire game and then, you know, threw it away in the last 2.5 minutes. Who knows what happens in that series? And obviously last year, Golden State was clearly better. But yeah. I don't know. It's just, it'll be interesting. Either way, if he doesn't come back and they lose, and now you look at, you know, the core, the big three, that core only won one title without Durant, or he comes back, makes the big impact that if he's healthy, I'm sure he will, and they're able to come back from 3-1 and avenge all the stuff that we talked about earlier. Wow, that'd be something else. And what if he doesn't come back and that was the last game at Oracle and Durant never plays for the Warriors again? To me, that seems like the most likely scenario.
Yeah, I agree. So I guess I know we have to wrap here soon because you don't want to ditch your guys, but we got to do our favorite segment. The Magic Johnson tweets just came across. I was hoping that I was dragging this out long enough for him to tweet. So here we go. Toronto's defense was the key to their success, and Kawhi Leonard continues to be the best player in the playoffs with 36 points!
Just one exclamation point or two?
Just one.
All right. Okay. Magic's not that excited.
Okay. So that was his first tweet, and then he says, last but not least. So apparently he has two important things to say. Last but not least, Coach Nurse has been doing an amazing job with his strategies and the lineups that he's choosing.
Well, the next tweet's probably going to be about all the strategies. He's going to tell us what strategies.
Well, I have to say, Coach Nurse the one that I think I found interesting, and then we can end on whatever else you need to say, but I thought it was interesting when he had Gasol and Ibaka out there for a while in the end of the second quarter, and I don't know if you caught any.
I didn't see any, I didn't see any of those minutes.
So they were doing this really cool pick and roll scheme that got them back in the game, because what was happening was Ibaka was setting a screen, the Kawhi or Lowry was going off the screen. He's rolling to the basket at the same time. Gasol's rolling to the basket on the opposite end, and Golden State had no way, because what they were doing is they pass it to Ibaka, and then they would come over and like help defense, and then Gasol would have a dunk, or then vice versa. It was really interesting to see, because
It sounds like Golden State needed multiple rotations that they weren't getting.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool to see. I didn't see any of that really in the second half, but it was definitely the end. That's what got them back into the game in the second quarter, was they ran that lineup for like 3.5 minutes, and it kind of had them run, make a nice little run.
Toronto's done a good job. I mean, they've done plenty of things to make it difficult for Golden State to defend them, and they've, conversely, on the defensive end, they've made it very, very tough for Golden State to score when you have oftentimes three guys on the floor that don't want to shoot the ball. So it's been, I'd say, you know, again, Toronto's played really, really well. And if the Warriors don't figure it out, or if Durant doesn't come back, the series is going to be over in game five. I think that's the way we're headed. All right, last thing before we get out of here. The Warriors minority owner, Kyle Lowry, flap. What an idiot that guy is.
Well, I don't know. I don't understand. If I'm the NBA, I suspend him more than that. Lifetime ban. Done. Over.
Yeah, I agree.
You're an owner of a team, and you shove a player on the opposing team. He should be a lifetime ban. And by the way, he's a billionaire. A $500,000 fine is like stepping on someone's foot. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Like, if you're that guy, so you go to that game and you're a completely unknown dude sitting in the front row, and you come out of that game having to do a national public apology for, I don't even know, like, at what point, what goes through your head when you decide, oh man, I think I'm going to push this guy? Like, what is your thought process? I mean, obviously you don't have one there when the guy comes flying in the stands, but it doesn't make any sense. Did he say something too, or was
okay,
it just
okay? Well, I'm not gonna say it, but
yeah,
Lowry said he said something about don't effing mess with us or something along those lines. Like he dropped multiple, and Lowry said he dropped the F bomb multiple times to him.
That's ridiculous. Like, yeah, listen, I mean, if Lowry retaliated, it's
Lowry's.
Over. I mean,
Lowry suspended.
Yep.
Like,
no doubt.
And he was the one that was provoked. So in my opinion, the guy should get a lifetime ban and have to be forced to sell his stocks. That's what I would, his ownership portion.
Yep.
And if I'm the Warriors in the offseason, I'm going to quietly ask him to sell his portion.
I would agree. And all credit to Kyle Lowry. I know I've been on record as not being a big Kyle Lowry fan, but kudos to him for keeping his cool in that situation. And kudos to him for playing a great series. Yeah. He's been really, really good in the last couple series. I mean, he's not a top five point guard in the league, but he's played really, really well, and they've needed him too. And he's come through. So credit to Kyle Lowry. Playoff Kyle Lowry can be maybe officially put to rest if the Raptors can finish it off here in game five.
I agree. So I think what we'll do is we'll wrap there on Monday. We'll talk about game five after the game's over. And we'll also, cause we'll have a little bit more time, I think we have to talk a little bit about that trade that happened today. And yesterday, and just kind of talk about what that means for Brooklyn and Atlanta. But we'll talk about that Monday, since we don't really have time to do that tonight.
Sounds like a plan to me. All right. To everyone out there, thank you for listening to our Game 4 wrap-up episode. And we will catch you on our next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.